Happy Father's Day to all you dads, granddads, and maybe someday dads. Being a dad, just like being a mom for all you ladies out there, it's a wonderful thing and a pretty scary thing too. For most of us, we entered into this parenthood adventure the first time, barely out of our own childhood adventure. There were lots of books available to read on how to, but who had time to read them? There may have been lots of people in your life to offer advice, but the only real way to learn about it was to do it, right? When Tara and I were thinking about starting our family, a man that I reported to asked, "Well, what are you thinking about?" I replied, "Well, first, whether we're ready to have kids or not." He said, "Let me stop you right there. You're never ready for kids. You just need to do it." I replied, "Well, then there's the money. Are we in the position to have kids?" Again, he stopped me cold and said, "If you wait until you have enough money to have kids, you'll never have them. You just need to do it." So we did. In case you haven't seen my kids, there's a photo of my family. That's my daughter Emily and her boyfriend Jeff on the right, my son Noah and his wife Mackenzie in the middle. Love my kids and love my added-on kids too. I want to move into the message that was on my heart to share with you today. We'll get to the main scripture in a bit, but first let me say this. I'm not talking today about fatherhood or God is our father. I'm pivoting a bit. Pivot, that's a little shout out to you Friends fans. And I'll be focusing on manhood. What does society say that a man should be? What does God say a man should be? And how do we walk like a man? This message is for the men who hear it. It's for the boys and young men who hear it. But it's also for the women and the young women. Consider these things in regards to the men in your life. What images did you have of what a man was when you were growing up? Using some of the images from Hollywood when I was a kid, here's what I came away with. There's two guys, some of you remember this, from the show Emergency. Johnny Gage and Roy DeSoto, very good. And the next one, who's that? Steve Austin, the $6 million man. Which, by the way, in today's dollars would be, according to an economist, about $33 million man. And probably my favorite, Grizzly Adams. These were the fabricated men on TV that I saw 1 hour's worth of their lives once each week. And in case you didn't know this, for you younger folks, bringing one of your binging one of your shows just wasn't possible then. You got to see each episode the week that it aired the first time. And then if you're lucky, you got to see it again in the summer if they did a rerun. If you don't believe me, ask your grandparents. Of course, there were sports heroes, and as much as we built them up in our minds, they had their faults. Well, they were human, and so that was inevitable. They might have had a bad game or, in more severe cases, made some significant error in judgment or had a moral failure. So for me at least, they weren't looked at as role models so much. It seems that as old-fashioned network TV gave way to cable TV, those kinds of strong images seemed to fade away. A pet peeve of mine is the common representation now of fathers as nitwits and, well, idiots. Of course, superheroes and fantasy heroes remain and even have increased in popularity, but they're a bit larger than life. So again, what does society say that man is? What are they saying? 40 to 50 years ago, men were portrayed in both positive and negative ways. Respected fathers, heroes like policemen or firemen, soldiers, factory workers, and of course, farmers. These would have all been positive portrayals of the work that men did. In negative ways, they were shown as greedy businessmen, corrupt politicians, threatening members of a gang, or a womanizing athlete. Oftentimes, our models are those that are closest to us. My dad modeled some things really well for me. In some areas of his life, he had his own struggles, and that modeled to me in a different way. Well, what is masculinity? It refers to the roles and behaviors seen as appropriate for men and boys. The expectations that society has of males, the positive attributes of a man. Traditionally, this would have included courage, leadership, protectiveness, devotion to work, to name a few. Toxic masculinity is a topic of discussion that became popular around 2015, although the concept had arisen decades before. It identified and addressed unhealthy characteristics, a specific version of masculinity that is harmful for men and the people in their lives. How men conduct themselves, being disconnected from emotions, being aggressive or domineering, hostile, even violence, are all evidence. I can't help but envision the bad guy karate instructor from the Karate Kid movies. Naturally, these are all traits that should be removed from a man's life. It's dangerous for women. It can lead to abuse. And bad for men because it ruins relationships. Encouraging these traits in boys can happen by brushing away any bad behaviors with the phrase, "Well, boys will be boys." As this was being recognized by the damage that was being done to relationships and to people, ways to address these concerns were identified and positive steps were being taken in our society. Another picture I wanted to share with you. This is a photo. I never met my grandfather on my father's side. He had passed away before I was born. My grandfather's the young guy right there on the bottom row in the middle. My great-grandfather is the man in the upper right corner with the suspenders on. Kind of gnarly looking dude, isn't he? The two of them working on a railroad crew, probably around 1913. My grandfather later served in World War I. I'm told that he was a hard-working man, worked in a steel mill, a heavy smoker and drinker, and passed away when he was around 60. My dad followed in my grandfather's footsteps. He left high school early to enlist in the Navy and served during World War II. He also went to work in a steel mill and smoked and dealt with periods of alcoholism. And that resulted in issues that negatively affected my family. I mentioned earlier that my dad modeled things in different ways: a strong work ethic, a love of country, taking pride in your work and doing a good job, providing for his family were all exhibited by him. In the areas in his life that he struggled with, I learned what not to be, even though he didn't teach that to me directly. I shared this with you to make the point that most of what boys learn about manhood is learned by what they see in other men. Some of what boys, well, children in general, learn are active, intentional lessons that we teach them. The remainder is learned by observing how those they observe live their lives, live out their beliefs. While I never talked with my father much about this, I'm sure that he observed what his father did and ended up doing much of the same thing. As is often the case, however, a concept like toxic masculinity and the corrective steps that came out of it, the resulting good, well, can be taken too far. As the term toxic masculinity has become more widely used, it picked up additional meanings. That all men are toxic, that men inherently hate women, and more. Our society seems to have become overly critical of the role of men, maybe due to bad examples. This wider definition of toxic masculinity has ended up leaving men feeling attacked and defensive. Other terms are also utilized in identifying issues. Hegemonic masculinity, male supremacism, emotional illiteracy, more recently a move towards gender neutrality and emasculation, or the feminization of men. The idea of healthy masculinity exists. I know this because I see a room full of examples right in front of me. And yet, I've seen very little affirmation or recognition of healthy masculinity outside the church. Some are calling this an attack on masculinity. Maybe you've heard one result of it: men withdrawing from typical roles. You hear of the young man that lives in his parents' basement. This focus on the bad has resulted in increases in male depression, substance abuse, increased violence, a decline in the number of men attending college and getting degrees, men pulling out of the workforce altogether. Of course, there are other factors contributing to these issues, and multiple issues can be intertwined. I can't help but wonder how this has progressed and how that correlates with the slow withdrawal of our society from a focus on a relationship with God, the creator of all things. I don't want to trivialize these issues by saying, just get right with God. Man has been acting in ways that are counter to God's ways for thousands of years. In some ways, I might be preaching to the choir. On the other hand, maybe there's someone who needs to hear this. So let's look at this a little more deeply. This is our instruction manual. While there are some difficult passages that take a while, maybe a lifetime, this makes much more sense than the instruction manuals that come with a new electronic device. And let's be honest, most men don't read instruction manuals anyway. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're not reading God's instruction manual. There's lots of passages that are instructions that can apply particularly to men. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I don't think you're taking this passage literally, because I don't see any commandments tied to your hands or on your foreheads. As my kids were growing up, we read the Bible and did devotions, but I'll have to admit, it wasn't consistent. There's more that I could have done to impress the scriptures on my kids. Here's a couple more scriptures. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. And another, 1 Timothy 4, 8. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Another version reads like this: train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training of godliness for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This helps to clarify what the Apostle Paul was trying to emphasize. Physical training of our bodies is good for our time here on earth. spiritual training will benefit us here and in eternity. Joshua Tong is a pastor and writer from Ontario, Canada. In answering the question, what does it mean to act like men? He points to 1 Corinthians 16. Be watchful. Stand firm in faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. This is the main passage today, so let me read that again. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. He breaks that down into some specific actions. Be watchful, stand firm, lead, I added that one, and let all that you do be done in love. Be watchful. Picture the lookouts on an ancient city wall. They were alert, watching for threats or for danger. Done poorly, and the city could experience a surprise attack. Done well, the lookouts see the enemy advance in advance. They sound the alarm. Preparations could be made, and the enemy's element of surprise is eliminated. Men, in our spiritual lives, what are we to be watchful for? The instruction manual says, 1 Timothy 4:16, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 2 John 1:8. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. More specifically, watch for things that distract us from keeping our eyes on Jesus, from pursuing him. As the father of an athlete, I have firsthand knowledge of how we as parents can get pulled into an activity. Sports, music, drama, dance. Not just so that our kids can have fun and become good at something, but how we can become so wrapped up in that activity that it begins to monopolize our lives. With multiple kids, there's a compounding effect. I'm not saying activities are bad. What I am saying is that we, as the adults, need to monitor and maintain the proper balance for our children, for our families, and for our faith walk. Watching for those things that are or will pull our focus off of Christ. We need to watch for things that would tempt us or our family. Back to 1 Peter 5:8. Satan prowls around looking for someone to devour. He won't be coming at you where you're the strongest. He's going to be coming at you where you're the weakest. Can you think of any new ways that Satan has come up with to tempt us in over the last 10 years, or the last 5, or even the last year? Kids' access to and use of social media could be the first that comes to mind. Last year, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a warning linking the increase in kids' use of social media and the deteriorating mental health in children. While we might want our kids to remain relevant and current on technology, social media apps like TikTok, Snapchat, and Instagram are all at the center of these concerns. Brothers, are you proactive in monitoring not only the amount of your kids' media usage, but also the effect of that usage and what it's having on them? Men and women, how's your social media usage? We need to watch for ways that the world is calling us, drawing us to be more like it and less like Christ. You've no doubt heard this warning before. It's the mission and goal of marketing departments and advertisers to get us to desire things so that we'll spend our money on things that we didn't even know we wanted. As you know, there are advocates and lobbyists that are actively working at changing our thinking to their way of thinking. The legalization of drugs, growth of the gambling industry, normalizing behaviors that damage individuals and families, all examples of the world drawing us to be more like it. Be watchful. How else do we act like men? Stand firm. Are you stubborn? Are there things in your life that you're like, that's the way I feel, and you're not going to change my mind? I'm that way about peanut butter. It's got to be Jif. Terry's tried to get me to try the natural, no-sugar kinds, and they're okay, but no thanks. I've tried other major brands, and nope. I stand firm on Jif, as if standing firm on peanut butter was possible. Standing firm isn't that much different from being stubborn, other than stubborn has a more negative sound to it. Throughout the Bible, we're encouraged to stand firm, to hold our ground. It says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see God's deliverance. Stand firm in the plans of the Lord. Stand firm in your faith. Be stubborn. The Bible makes some very clear statements on what is right and what is wrong. That is under constant attack. What was once wrong is now okay. Man has greater understanding. They say that man is evolving and our former ways of thinking are no longer relevant. Joshua Tong notes that if being watchful applies before temptation comes, standing firm in the faith applies when temptation has already arrived. Think back on the image of the walled city, watching for the enemy and its advances, being watchful, then standing firm in the battle. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the belt of truth, the Word of God. It's both what we defend and how we defend. When faced with peer pressure, maybe because you don't have the newest phone, because your old phone is just fine, or haven't downloaded the latest app, because you don't need another distraction, be stubborn. Don't give in. Stand firm in Christ. I want to step away from the 1 Corinthians passage for a little bit now. There's many other responsibilities for men listed in our instruction manual. Being humble before God. Being self-controlled. Protecting and providing for our family. And leading our family, which I want to spend some time on now. One primary place in Scripture dealing with a man's responsibility to lead is at the end of Ephesians 5. This is the passage where Paul provides guidance on the marriage relationship. Of course, this passage usually gets us hung up on verse 22, you know, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. It's unfortunate that we have a tendency to miss the verses before and after, because that's where understanding of the full passage helps men in their leadership, not only in the marriage, but of the family, and even to others. Ephesians 5:21 directs us, men and women, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, that says, submit to one another. That's before verse 22 gives women a directive to submit to their husband. And just what is meant by submitting? My study Bible comments put it this way. For the wife, this means willingly following her husband's leadership in Christ. For the husband, it means putting aside his own desires in order to care for his wife. Directions for both. The direction for the husband carries on in verse 25 by saying, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. As it progresses through the rest of the chapter, Paul uses twice as many words to direct men to love their wives as he does telling wives to submit to their husbands. Now, we all know that guys sometimes take a little longer to catch on, so Paul did us a favor and stuck on this a little while longer for us. We'll do that by loving sacrificially, by putting the needs of our wife before ours, by loving humbly, valuing others more than ourselves, and loving in service, meeting the needs of others before our own. When we're loving our wives like we're called to, women's submission to our leadership in the family will be much less of an issue. We'll not be leading solo either, but in partnership with our wives. And that kind of love spread out on our children will model for them the leadership style of Jesus. I talked earlier about being watchful. I'd be thrilled to say, well, keep an eye out, but you probably won't run into any problems. I'd also be lying. Some kind of issues are going to crop up in our lives that we hopefully will see ahead of time. As the leader of your family, or even if it's just you, action will need to be taken. It might not be popular, and it probably won't be easy, but that's what the leader sometimes needs to do. Be watchful, stand firm, lead. The last application from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is, let all that you do be done in love. There have been various words to describe masculinity, healthy, unhealthy, toxic, and others. Here's one more, biblical masculinity. That's a masculinity that is based on love, which makes it distinctly Christian. We read in the Bible that God is love. His love is poured into his son Jesus, and through Jesus and God's Holy Spirit to us. As a result, his love is to be overflowing from us to others. Let all that you do be done in love. Because you love, you'll watch out for threats. Because you love, you will stand firm against the enemy. And you will lead in love by loving sacrificially, putting the needs of others before yours, by loving humbly, valuing others more than yourself, and by loving in service, meeting the needs of others before you seek to meet your own needs. That's how Jesus showed his love for us. And that's how we're called to walk like men. Jesus' sacrificial love took the sins of every one of us and paid the punishment of those sins by dying on the cross, even though he led a sinless life. You may have been thinking about setting things right with God recently, or maybe there's something that you feel that you need to pray about right now. If that's where you're at today, one of the pastors or church leaders will be glad to pray with you. Would you pray with me? Father God, you created us, and you have given us a model of how to live, your son, Jesus. You've also given us your word as our instruction manual. Help us as we read it, as we try to understand it, as we try to put it into practice. Guide us, direct us, and lead us in your path. For we know that your ways are right. Your ways lead to eternal life, and we look forward to a Father's Day spent in your presence. We pray these prayers in the name of your Son. Amen.